All right, Shabbat Shalom. Will, could you go ahead and put up the first slide there for the sermon? Just have the portions up on the screen. We know that God's intention for us is blessing and good, right? From the creation account, we know it. It starts right in the beginning. What is the first thing that God creates? That God says, let there be. God says, let there be light, right? Let there be light. He comes into a situation that's chaotic and dark, and he says, let there be light. Starts right from the beginning. God wants blessing and peace for us, right? All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. In the Hebrew, that's tohu vavohu. It even sounds chaotic, right? Darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and God's spirit, merchefet, was hovering, that beautiful hovering lovingly over the waters, over the surface of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Will, that PowerPoint being off is going to drive me crazy this morning. Could you just unplug it and bring me the computer, and I'll just read directly from the computer? Thank you. I appreciate that. And so God's intention was for light and order and for blessing. And in the end of the creation account, Genesis chapter 2, it ends with what? We have the creation of man, and then God rested and gave us the Sabbath. Right, so right from the beginning, we have light, and we have rest. That's what he wants for us, right? Light and rest. And as we start to dig through the scriptures and carry on Genesis and into Exodus and so forth, we get the idea that God wants to bring the world into a place of rest in him. And we fail, right? So we fail. We get the story of Noah in Genesis, and after Noah's flood, we have some of the same language that we had in the creation account, where God wants to start things over again and bring blessing and bring peace. Thank you so much, Will. But even Noah fails, right? I think lying drunk and naked on your 10th floor, that's not a good thing, right? So even Noah, it just fails and fails. Joshua, actually, let's go back. Let's go back to Moses. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 6. This is from today's Torah portion. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Adonai. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their travels in which they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant, right? The covenant that he made with Abraham to give him peace in the land of Israel. Therefore, tell the children of Israel, I am Adonai, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. This is where we get the four cups of wine during Passover, right? So we have the four cups of wine. It's based on these four promises. I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. First cup of wine, first promise. I will rid you out of their bondage. You're going to have no more bondage. Second cup of wine, right? And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I'm going to redeem you. Third cup of wine. And then the fourth one, the climax of the cups of wine, the climax of the Bible, the climax of God's plan is this. And I will take you to myself for a people. Right? Isn't that kind of the same message we were getting during the worship? I want you to be my people. That's the climax. That's what God wants. I want you to be my people. I will take you to myself for a people. I will be your God, and you shall know that I am Adonai, your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a heritage. I am Adonai. I am the Lord. And that promise of that land, we find out in other portions, God wants to give us rest and peace in the land. That's part of the promise. Rest and peace in the land. And it didn't happen. Maybe for short little periods it happened, right? Sometimes under David, although David's rule was sometimes quite chaotic. A little bit under Hezekiah, for a little while under Josiah. But for the most part, we are in the land, and the promise of rest has not been fulfilled in the land. And we see this in Psalm chapter 95, starting at verse 7, the end of verse 7. Today, oh, that you would hear his voice. Don't harden your heart as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, tested me, and saw my work. 40 long years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people that errs in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore my wrath. They won't enter my rest. Okay, we talked about this a little last week. God brought our forefathers out of Egypt. We all rejoiced. At every Passover, we rejoiced. Yay, freedom from Egypt. What, were we really free from Egypt, though? Or did we take Egypt with us? We took Egypt with us in the heart, didn't we? We had a hardened heart. That's why that generation had to die in the wilderness. And that's why hundreds of years later, this psalm is saying, you still haven't entered into the rest. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. There's still a rest for us to enter into. And we think we have, but Hebrews makes it clear, Egypt hasn't necessarily left our hearts. Let's go now to Hebrews chapter 4. This is going to be our main portion for today, so if you want to open up there, you may. Let's fear, therefore, okay? Let's be afraid, therefore. Wow, usually the Bible says don't be afraid, doesn't it? Over and over again, do not fear, do not fear. Yeshua says, don't be afraid, you of little faith. God says to Joshua several times, don't be afraid. Well, what are we supposed to fear? We're supposed to fear that we're not going to enter in. Let's fear, therefore, lest perhaps any one of you should seem to have come short of a promise of entering into his rest. You still have to enter in. Even though the rest was established in Genesis chapter 2, way back then when God created the Sabbath, rest was established. We didn't enter in. Even under Joshua, even going into the land, crossing over the Jordan, defeating Jericho, etc., etc., you didn't really enter into the rest. We need to be afraid that we won't enter in. Verse 2, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, even as they also did. Okay, what was the good news preached to them? I'm going to bring you into the land. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you rest and peace in the land. We've had good news preached to us as well, the good news of Messiah. And as chapters 1 and 2 make it clear, this message from Messiah even outshines what they heard from Moses. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, even as they also did, but the word they heard didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith by those who heard. You can do all the right things, but not have the faith. Well, they didn't do either. They didn't have the faith or do the right things, right? But sometimes we try to do the right things. But if there's no faith there, if there's no relationship there, if you're not in the presence of God, if you don't have that relationship, you're not really entering in. Be afraid that maybe you're not there. I'm not saying go doubt your salvation, but I'm saying make sure you're not just going through some motions. Make sure that you really enter into the rest of God. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Okay, so he quotes Psalm 95, like I read earlier. Right? Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, even though God created that light in the beginning, even though God created that rest in the beginning, he still swore, they're not going to enter my rest. Their hearts are far from me. Verse 4, for he has said this somewhere about the seventh day, about our Shabbat. God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place again, they will not enter my rest. He established the Sabbath. but they didn't enter in. You need to be careful that you also, you can acknowledge that the Shabbat exists and not really enter in. We have to enter in to the rest of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. Seeing therefore that it remains that some should enter into it, and they to whom the good news was preached before failed to enter it, failed to enter in because of disobedience, he again defines a certain day, today, saying through David so long a time afterward, just as has been said, today if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterward of another day. Let's break this down a little bit, okay? Seeing therefore that it remains that some should enter in. Okay, we still need to enter in. And they to whom the good news was preached, the Israelites, the good news, you're going to enter into the land, you're going to have peace, you're going to have rest, God's going to be in your midst. They failed to enter into those promises. They failed to enter into that rest. He again defines a certain day. Today, quote unquote. How is it that the psalmist, hundreds of years later, is saying today you need to enter in, when way back thousands of years earlier, God had already created the rest. Or hundreds of years earlier, God had already brought Israel in to the promised land through Joshua, yet they still did not enter in, so today you need to enter in. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. They didn't enter in because of hard hearts. They left Egypt, yay. They left Egypt, but Egypt was still inside, right? So they couldn't enter in. For if Joshua had given them rest, if Joshua was the fulfillment of the promise, if Joshua leading us into the promised land, defeating Jericho, yay, the walls fell down, awesome, right? The temple's established under Solomon in Jerusalem, awesome. And yet after all of this, the psalmist is still saying, today we need to enter into the rest. Something's still missing. We're not there. What's missing from them was faith. It's not enough for us. It wasn't enough for them, not enough for us to acknowledge what God is doing. You have to enter in. I've had tons of people tell me that they believe Yeshua is the Messiah. But there's very clearly nothing going on the inside. Now, I hate to judge people's hearts, and I try not to, and I definitely try to give people the benefit of the doubt. But there's some times where you just know, for this person, it's just all intellectual. I can tell by the way they're always complaining about everything. I can tell by the way that there is no rest in their lives. I get stressed out. I'm not saying we never get stressed out. I get stressed out. But there's got to be rest in our lives by faith. That's how we enter in to that rest. Verse 12. No, I'm sorry, I skipped. Verse 9. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And here's an important verse, verse 10. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Okay, we have to rest from our own works. Let me tell you a little story of something that happened to me. Many of you know that, the synagogue's gone through a little bit of a tough time, right? And there's a lot of negativity being stirred up, okay? And it was a lot of it was kind of being directed towards me. And my first response is, well, let me defend myself. This is just not right, right? It's not fair. It's not right. My first reaction is, let me defend myself. My second reaction was, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not called to be a rabbi. So I went for a walk and sat down by a little lake. It's drainage area, but it's pretty. It looks like a lake to me. And I sat there, and I was gone a couple hours at least, just praying and meditating, getting into the presence of God. God, should I resign as the rabbi? All right, well, God said yes. He said yes. I said, okay, this was sad for me. But at the same time, I felt such a release, a burden lifted off of me. And I had planned that night, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my wife that I need to resign. And then later that day, I'm driving my car and God said, you can't resign. I said, you've got a responsibility here. I was like, well, hold on. God, am I hearing? That's not what you said earlier. It's like, okay, I'm not hearing from, maybe I'm just so confused I can't even hear from God. What is going on here? Maybe, I was pretty sure the first thing about resigning was from God, so maybe this must not be. The Lord confirmed, no, you cannot resign. And so it's like, okay, God, make sense of this for me. And the Lord said to me, that release you felt when you handed it over to me instead of it being on your shoulders, that's the way you need to feel in that position.
Yes.
You're not the rabbi, Josh. I'm the rabbi.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm the Savior. I'm all this. You're Josh. Yes. You know what? I like to tell myself, I am the head follower. I'm not the leader, right? God's the leader. But hopefully I'm following him enough that people can follow my example and follow my teaching and we'll follow him together. But I need to not feel the synagogue as a burden. I started to feel it again last night. My poor daughter is sick. Please keep her in prayer. Just a bad cough. But, you know, I said, okay, I'll do the PowerPoint for you. And I was sitting there, you know what? I shouldn't be doing this. I need to be working on the sermon. And I started to enter into my own work. Right? It's not the fact that it was wrong for me to do it, but my attitude was wrong. We have to check ourselves against this kind of stuff. This needs to be a service of love. Here I am putting, it needs to be done. The PowerPoint needed to be done. She's sick. It needed to be a service of love to my daughter and my congregation. And then that's when I cease from my own work. And it becomes the work of the Lord. That's when it's no longer a burden, but a joy. That's when I enter into the rest,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Verse 10, for he who has entered into God's rest, his rest, has himself also rested from his works. Let's stop. Do you feel a burden on yourself to make God happy with you? Do you have a burden on yourself to do the right thing so that you get approved by God or approved by the people around you? Let go of that. Let go of that. Enter into God's work. Does that mean that you're not going to do the mitzvot? Does that mean you're not going to do good deeds? Of course it doesn't mean that. Of course it doesn't. But it means that you're going to do it with the joy and the love and the guidance of the Lord. We've got to let the burdens go, folks. We need to enter into the rest of the Lord. Verse 11. Let's therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. 4, verse 12, and too many people do not understand the connection between verse 12 and 13 and what came before it. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature that is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Okay, first question, what is the word of God? Is it the scriptures? Is it Yeshua? Sometimes Yeshua is called the Word of God, right? John 1, for example, and also in Revelation. It's God speaking into your life. However he does it. That vision that you had, let that Word of God get into your life, mm-hmm. And divide the real from the fake.
Yes, yes.
To divide the religious from the spiritual.
Yes.
To divide what's of the joint and what's of that deeper marrow, right? Of what's on the outside. He discerns your thoughts. Let him discern your thoughts. God, have I entered into your rest? What is my motivation here? Am I trying to work to please you? How do you know? You let the word of God get into you and divide like that sharp knife that it is, and you'll be like, you know what? Bam. Maybe this sermon is doing it for you. Maybe a song did it for you. Maybe a passage that was read is doing it for you. But that word of God is God to speak into your life and change something, right? And what it's got to change is this. It's got to cut away the fat. It's got to cut away all that extra stuff that we think is so spiritual and so religious. No, no. Enter into my what? Into my rest. Cease from your works. How do I know what's my work, what's his work? The word of God will do it for you. Right? But it won't do it for you if you're not listening. Hebrews over and over again says we must pay careful attention. We must listen. We must be paying attention, folks. Right? We've got to be paying attention to the word of God. We've got to be coming to services. We've got to be in our word. We've got to be praying. And that praying is not going through a list. That praying is getting in touch with God. God, speak to me. What is not real in my life? I'm tired of faking it. Maybe you didn't even know you're faking it, but in the light of the Lord, he can say, you know, you're faking it. That's why you're so tired. That's why you're so worn out. That's why you feel so far from me. You're trying to fake it. Rest. Enter in by faith. They didn't, right? They had the Egyptian religion. They came out, went through the Red Sea, Baruch Hashem, praise God, saw the glory of God at Mount Sinai, received the Torah, all this awesome religious stuff, awesome religious stuff that makes our stuff look like nothing. We read from a little scroll here. They got the finger of God written on tablets, right? His word. That was a religious thing. But you know what? They still didn't enter his rest. I don't care how good your religious expression is. It's going to pale in comparison to what happened at Mount Sinai and the Red Sea. But despite all of that, they didn't enter his rest. That Egyptian religion was tucked away in that heart. And God says, I want to take it out of your heart. Let my word get in there and divide the real from the fake. Listen to my voice. Because I can divide the real from the fake and you can live in me. You can live in me and you can have the rest. You can have the rest that they didn't have in the desert. You can have the rest they didn't even have in David's day. You can have it because of Messiah and because my word will get in there and say, you know, you're not mixing the message of Messiah with faith. Mix it with faith. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I lay it down. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I lay it down. Make my life yours and your life mine. Lord God, I want to be in your presence. I want to be in your rest. In Yeshua's name we all say, amen.